You're listening to the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philpott, providing you inspiration, information, knowledge, and motivation to help you on your soul's path, covering topics related to health and happiness from the mystical to the metaphysical and everything in between, making the unknown known. Now let's join the podcast to discover today's topic. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. This is the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with your host, of course, me, Mr. Michael Philpott. And we're going to have another fantastic show. I've been wanting to have a conversation about the Palladians. And because before, you know, Christine, I've had so many people come to me and have conversations about Palladians. And I have really no information about it. I mean, I just know it's been such a big part of everybody's journey in the last little while. I've had so many conversations with it. It's been absolutely crazy. But Christine, before we get started, I always like to say thank you to all my listeners who are listening on Spotify, on Apple, and those listening or watching on YouTube. Yes, I do have a small YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, smash that button, please. Leave a comment. Always appreciate that too as well. And if you'd like to donate to sponsor, to be a sponsor of the show, there is donations in the donation links in the description below. That being said, Christine, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, it's great to be with everyone, including you, and always feels such a gift to be connecting. I can just feel the energy of the Pleiadians here through my heart. Always brings so much love. They work with unconditional love, and it's incredibly touching. So I just have to bring that energy out. And
I can feel I'm literally in goosebumps right now, like, as I am such a sensitive that way. And that was one of the things I loved about your post, is you have such a reverence and a love that you, when did you start speaking that? And this is what I find is really what it's all about, is that opening of that heart chakra. And it's that intense love that just kind of oozes out of you. And it just, it's hard for you to contain it. And I was like watching that, and it's like, every time you just start talking, it's like automatically the tears kind of roll up, and then you can feel that heart energy pumping in. Was that like the first thing that you experienced when you started connecting with the Palladians?
Oh, it was overwhelming, that love. And it was something I had never experienced before, because believe me, I wasn't into metaphysics or looking to be a healer or anything else. It kind of chose me. It was part of my predestined agreement to allow this Pleiadian connection to come in. So when it first came, it was just pure unconditional love, which really took me into a place of being healed. I would ultimately, because I had advanced systemic lupus and just given a few months to live. And then 2 weeks later, when the doctors had told me I only had a few months to live, I had this incredible experience of this love coming to me and just pouring in nonstop. And that was the first moment of connecting to that Pleiadian imprint of unconditional love.
Yeah, I've heard so many stories, countless stories, of a lot of the people who have been guests on my show, that some of their awakenings have always been associated with the Palladians. And it's unbelievable. Like, I can probably name 10 or 15 people on my podcast that we have discussed this on the podcast, that they're in meditation and all of a sudden they're connecting to these energies. They don't understand it, but then they find out it's the Palladians, and they just, it's like this remembering, like they remember who they were. And it's like this, oh, I've always known I was a Palladian. So is that a normal experience that most people have when they start working with the Palladians?
It absolutely, a lot of my students had that experience, and I didn't have that experience actually. You know, I was like a dead man walking at the time that I was given my diagnosis of only having a few months to live. And I didn't know about meditation or anything else, but I did know that in order to just get through my life as a very injured person, I was just struggling so much that I had created something to kill myself, the lupus. And then the next thought that came was that if I could create something to kill myself, I could create my own healing. And it was like a light bulb went on at that time. And the message was, because I'd never received a message before, but it was like, in order to live, I needed to leave hospital that day, leave the doctors behind and just sit at home. And I thought, okay, so I did that. And then 2 weeks later, this light came in. Now, I didn't know it was the Pleiadians. I thought this must be the love of God, because I hadn't experienced any form of love in my whole life. I was like, had been devoid of having any loving interaction with another human being up to that point. And I was 31 at the time. But it was about 6 or 7 years later where I was out in nature, turned a corner, and there was that huge Pleiadian spaceship. And the Pleiadians were walking towards me. Now, at that moment, I didn't even believe in spaceships or aliens. And I would have run, but I couldn't, because the Pleiadians telepathically grabbed my mind and reminded me of my pre-agreement with them, of my own Pleiadian nature, and my own Pleiadian family coming around me in that meadow. And it was like life-changing. I mean, beyond life-changing, because
of course.
In that moment, I remembered my life on the Pleiades, my full pre-agreements, the work, the mission I had to do here, acting as a bridge between humanity and the Pleiadians, and everything opened up. But I don't even remember getting home that day. I actually found myself in bed with this light of my own Pleiadian frequency being reestablished through this physical body.
Wow.
And it's part of my higher self energy. And I was bedridden for 2 months. While that process went on.
So and this is in spite of the illness too, as well. So you're already dealing with the lupus, and then you had this.
The lupus by then had gone.
This is separate.
Separate experience. Wow. The first experience was the light coming in, and it never left me. And I had this light pouring through my hands, and I had a very ill son. So I put my hands on my son, and as he was healed, I was healed over a 2-year period. I was totally healed. I've been symptom free since I was 31. That's right, 36 years ago, 37 years ago. And then it was a number of years later that I had a physical encounter with the Pleiadians, with my Pleiadian energy coming in. And at that time, when I first had the lupus, there's no way I could have processed the Pleiadians. I had to be fortified physically. By then, I was working with the light of God, or what I thought was the light of God, but it was always the light of the Pleiadians, because I couldn't accept that concept until I met them and I went through this transmutation. And I fought that. It was like I didn't want to be a Pleiadian. I didn't want to be connected to the Pleiadians. I wanted to stay just simply with the light of God. Well, of course, the Pleiadians are part of the God consciousness state, but I didn't want any of this Pleiadian stuff. And so for nearly 6 weeks in bed, I fought my mission. I fought what was to be my.
So why do you think that you decided that you fought this?
Because you know what? I just wanted to simply, it was such a simple thing, being with the love of God that I knew inside of me at that point. But you know what? It was only 6 weeks in, these angels descended around my bed and they said, you know, the Pleiadians are part of the God consciousness state. They're not separate from God. You know, they're part of this resident universe. And I could really feel the depth of that truth. And once I got that firmly established in my consciousness, the truth of that, I was then ready for my mission. And it was only a couple of weeks later that I got out of bed and I was totally transformed. My Pleiadian energy was totally integrated through the cells of my body, through my crystalline structure. And so my life transformed from there. And I started just going all over the world teaching from that point on. And that was, you know, in 1996, that took place. And so I was then traveling the world 9-10 months a year, just bringing in the light initiations and the teachings from the Pleiadians, because they bring self-empowerment to humanity. They're here on the planet for us, to support us during this transition and to break down the myths, you know, the myth of enlightenment.
Yeah.
And bring it to a very simple, which it is a very simple process. So really dispelling all the mystery and dispelling the illusions we've been living. And one of the biggest is, in order to become enlightened, we have to become perfect. The Pleiadians taught me to love my humanity. Yes.
Really? Okay. Cause all right. That helps me out a lot. Jeez. Cause I was always thinking I had to be perfect in order to become enlightened.
Exactly. But to love our imperfection and our idiosyncrasies. And that helped me, because it's like a self-resurrection process. And it's like I had put myself up on a cross, blame myself for so many things and condemn myself. Yeah. And they helped me take myself off the cross and move into this self-resurrection, which is part of the Christ, Jesus Christ energy. He brings the mirror of the self-resurrection as a big part of our mission in this lifetime for all of us. So, you know, it's been a journey, and it continues to be an unfolding journey for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's so profound. I really love the connection between not only the Palladians, but how you frame it as also as part of the larger picture of the God consciousness. And it's not just separate from that. It's a larger collection of consciousness that rised up. And it's always interesting with your story too, is that, did you feel that the weeks in bed was just, they're just trying to restructure your body so that you can hold all this energy, because it's such a higher vibration that our physical body, you know, needs to be adjusted to all these different things that are happening. And some people would call them like ascension symptoms and things like that. Is that something that happens when people start working with the Pleiadians?
It is, but understand, Michael, what's really important is on 11/11/11, every human being on this earth plane received their crystalline structure into their physical bodies in readiness for us to house the full essence of our higher self in this physical body in this lifetime.
I did not know that.
12/12/12, the switch went on. For those who are on awakened path, our crystalline structures were switched on. So like a light switch went on through the crystalline structure in readiness for us to start embodying this high electrical light that's our higher self. So that we are designed now to house the full essence of our full higher self energy, this enlightenment frequency that we are. So we're ready for enlightenment. And anyone who's being born now is born with a crystalline structure. It's within the space between the cells. It's linked through the heart, the thyroid, through the brain cells, right through the spinal fluid, the sacrum, through the vertebra of the spine into the neck. And so we have this crystalline structure ready so that we can take in these levels of the light.
Wow.
So during that time, my crystalline structure was reinstalled through me. When I was in bed, my Pleiadian aspect came in. So I carry my full Pleiadian aspect here. I have all the tools, the multidimensional tools of my, higher self, which is, you know, my Pleiadian self is like unconditional love. I have my multidimensional tools I work with in the world. We all have them, and they are being restored. They're being restored to us. It's not something new. You know, we all have this. We're a multidimensional being, and our heart is our multidimensional tool. So it's really having this restored to me at a very accelerated rate, but it was a pre-agreement. And my Pleiadian self is part of my higher self, of course.
Okay, wow. All right. I mean, I'm so happy you're on, because I can sit there and listen to you for hours, and I know my audience is going to love this. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because I have so many people who are just starting to explore metaphysics and understanding, hence the name of my podcast. But, you know, I really want to get people to understand who are the Palladians? Because a lot of people hear that and they'll go, I've heard that. So what does that mean? Who are they? What are they doing? So if you could just give us a little bit of a background on the Palladians themselves, who are they and what is their kind of mission? So just for people so they can understand what we're really talking about.
It's very important for people to understand who the Pleiadians are. And they say, well, what's in it for the Pleiadians? The Pleiadians come from the seven sisters, which is the Pleiades. It's a star system. They are, and what's so important is they're not in spirit form. They are living an active incarnation now. And their mission in this incarnation is to assist us, humanity, during the transition of Earth. They are part of a universal team from all the different life force galactic groups in the universe. They are part of the team in the universe working on Earth to support not only us personally in our transition, but also setting up a lot of the grid lines and energetic vortexes and the networks, the new networks of light that are anchoring on the planet. The Pleiadians specifically bring self-empowerment information, clarity to human beings to assist us to remember our mission, to remember that we pre-agreed and said yes to being here on this earth plane at this time. It's an honor to be here, even though we forget that we get caught up in all the drama and illusion. But they talk about the illusion, they talk about loving our humanity, that we're perfectly imperfect in our human form, really supporting us to move through the mysteries, because it's been mystery for lifetimes, the awakening, but the mystery is lifting and the veils are lifting. Yeah. Now the Pleiadians, you know, you say, well, what's in it for them? Why are they here? You know,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, what are they getting out of this? You know, well, let me tell you, planet Earth is the last planet in this resident universe to be third dimensional. And the rest of the universe is waiting for Earth to evolve so the whole universe can go up in a hierarchy through the God seat of power.
So we're pulling everybody back. We're holding everybody back in the rest of the universe.
They don't see us like that. They see us actually, we're actually ahead of time. We're doing actually pretty well. You wouldn't know it by looking at all the drama in the world, but that's just part of the drama and the illusion. But no, it's the timing is perfect. It's perfect for the entire universe that we move up at a certain moment. And planet Earth is going to move into that fourth, fifth dimensional transition in the next 10 to 20 years.
Okay.
And the important thing, Michael, to understand is that all of us who are seekers, who are on an active awakening path, we in human form are the only ones that can truly set off this transition of Earth. The Pleiadians and rest of the galactic community can support us, and they are, but ultimately we have to be the ones to return to our hearts, to merge our collective hearts together and hold and create the new framework of consciousness for the planet. So they are giving information and understanding and clarity to us as human beings so that we can become self-empowered and stand strong back in returning back into the sacred beings that we are. Wow. While still having the human experience. We're not to lose the being human. We're to do it simultaneously, have that sacred awakening while having the human experience.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like, how much does our free will a factor into this? Because I love the idea that they're empowering us. Now, are they influencing us in some way, or they're just kind of standing by and says, listen, if you want to learn to do this, we're right here. Or are they influencing us in some ways to start searching for that?
They are absolutely not influencing us.
Okay.
They're not allowed to influence us. We must come forward through pure free will. But what is happening is we have a time clock within ourselves to awaken. We have made pre-agreements with the galactic community, with the Pleiadians, with maybe the angels, the light beings, to have them assist us and for us to awaken, and ourselves to awaken, and for us to remember. Because it's just a remembering. Our sacred natures are fully intact, just beyond the veil. It's like there's nothing we have to do. We just have to reconnect and reunite with that which we are. And our ego minds would say, oh, well, we're not good enough. I'm this, I'm that. You know, they say, celebrate your imperfection. Understand you're never going to do it perfectly as a human being. That has no relevance to your awakening process. It's actually, and this is what I love about the Pleiadians, they say, you are who you've been waiting for. You are who you've been waiting for.
I love that.
Yes, it's everything, and it's so true, you see. And so the beauty of this is that what I've found for myself with this awakening, how has my human component dealt with this? And the fact is, my human part, I'm able to hold myself with a lot of love, compassion, and patience. So my human part gets a lot of love from me. It gets fortified and nurtured by my higher self energy. And so my human self is thriving more than it ever would have without my awakening. And I tend to my humanity. You know, I'm invested in a self-introspection process with my human self so that I get to know my human self more and more and come to love and understand that part of myself that was so damaged so many years ago.
So it's really a process of self-healing and self-discovery that they're asking us to do.
They are, and you can't leave your human self behind. And unfortunately, the mistake people make is they just want to push that human, the ugly human part, the anger, the rage, the hatred. You know, I mean, we have to embrace that shadow side. We're glorious. That's being alive. Feeling is being alive. And the hatred, say, doesn't define you. It's just a feeling in a moment, you know. So you learn to really not be afraid of what you're going to find out about yourself. You know,
I think that really scares a lot of people. I think that's maybe why they don't, is like there's that fear that, I might, like, it's actually looking at their darkness as part of them, because we always like to kind of hide that darkness. And
I know, that light and love stuff is kind of sickening, but you know, it's just ego mind.
Oh my God. You're one of the first person that I've actually had say that, you know, on my show. I absolutely love it, because there are days like me, I was like, really? Light and love.
Love and light, you know.
Yeah, because I curse like a trucker sometimes, you know, and I mean, it's like, I can't believe, light and love, my ass, like, really? I love that.
Yeah, you know, we're a lot of things, you know, we're a lot of things, and it's about embracing being alive, being human, and then embracing the sacred that you are. You know, and they're not polar opposites. There's so much room for us to really explore the vastness of the sacred that we are embracing. And I have my human moments, and I love my human moments. You know, I've learned to really love that part of myself. And with the background I've had, you know, cult ritual abuse, it was like extreme, and I was destroyed in that, you know, and I had to bring myself back. I couldn't bury it all. And that's what I did when I got the lupus. I realized I'd buried all that pain and all the torture and all the suffering, you know. So it's really like opening up your own box of things and not being afraid to really you know, witness yourself and salute the courage it takes to be here and have the human experience. And you can't say one person has suffered more than another. Suffering is suffering, and none of us suffer more than the other one. It's just different types of experiences that bring that suffering, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. Like, I mean, I can't believe, you know, I really appreciate this information and how you're describing this, you're very grounded in the approach. And one of the things, I've gotten flack over the years is when people start talking about their experiences, they get into what we call, the woo-woo. It gets a little too out there. But mm-hmm. I just love how you bring it back. You know, it's amazing. You know, for the longest time, if you were to say to me about Palladians and otherworldly beings, I thought you were batshit crazy. But I cannot doubt it anymore. And because I've seen the progression in the people that I've been around, my own friends that have had this connection to it. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, how do we recognize that if it is Palladian contact and not some other forms? Are there certain things that they do specifically, energies, frequencies? How do we know, like if I'm in meditation and then all of a sudden this light comes over me, will they actually say that they're the Palladians? So how would I know, or one of my listeners or somebody's doing something that they know that they're working with the Palladians and it's not some other thing that's going on?
Well, it's to me, my first statement to that would be say, who cares what it is? it's that's, but this is the time for, we all come, none of us are from planet Earth. We all have a family of origin within the universe, each one of us. And that family of origin is here to support you in your transition, to fulfill your mission here. So I have my Palladian family that's all around me. So in other words, if the light's there, it could be the light of your own being coming back to you.
Wow.
You see, people, we've got to take ownership of our own light now. So when light is there, when you feel the light or the love or the peace or the presence, let your awareness open out. That means explore it. It's like giving a package, a gift that's wrapped and say, oh, what exquisite wrapping paper, and never opening the wrapping, never looking what's inside. Because whenever there's light present, it's an opportunity for you to embrace that light. Let yourself go into the feeling, whether you feel, see, or sense it, it doesn't matter. Some of us are visual. That makes no difference. And just open your awareness and consciously take it in. And as you do, it becomes more. Okay. And this is our time for us to start receiving the aspect of our own starlight. We are starlight. That's part of our higher self, is our starlight, that origin of your family of origin off planet light, which you are. And when you start to embrace that starlight, understanding that every starlight that we have is evolved at least to fourth, fifth dimension, sixth dimension, seventh dimension consciousness. And with it, as you embrace it, you start to re-engage with your natural sacred tools.
Okay. So let's talk about those sacred tools.
Process. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. Let's describe that, because I think a lot of people will be really curious to know what kind of tools.
So let me tell you some of my tools that I'm working with. Please. And have since my awakening. And I can work, I sometimes do transmissions in a theater with 2,000 people. I can individually connect to every one of those 2,000 people simultaneously. And if I have their permission, because if they're sitting in the theater, then I have their permission, I can go in and work with them energetically, individually, all at the same time.
Wow.
That's the natural multiplexing abilities. I work with maybe 10, 20,000 people out in the world simultaneously. I'm here, but I'm also aware of being in alternate reality spaces throughout the planet, doing many other things simultaneously. It's part of my natural gifts. That's also a multiplexing ability. Okay. I can tune in to you and see all your energetics. I can tell you all about yourself. Because I blend with the oneness. It's part of my oneness connection. I would never do that without anyone's permission. You can't.
Well, of course.
But I have that ability. I have the ability to see the energy in the future. I have the ability to move into alternate reality spaces at any time. I have the ability to flow within the universe. I'm part of the oneness of the God consciousness state. So I have very direct lines to all the energetics through the universe.
So how do you make sure that you don't get burnt out doing this type of work?
Well, I become one with everything. It feeds me. I don't pull any, if you're trying, that's ego mind. If you're trying to force something, but I am in a fluid state all the time. I never feel this physical body. I'm in a fluid state, and it's an effortless experience of aligning to what I naturally am within the God consciousness state.
Yeah.
So I don't get tired. Like I can work, another one of my gifts, I can work right into your physical body and hold the space for you to come in and guide you right where you have to go for self-healing.
Wow.
I have all these natural abilities that I work with all of the time, and they're just natural. They're not miraculous. You know, I can, you know, so it's just, I'm an energy, you're an energy. Within the God consciousness state, we can blend as one. And part of the mission for Earth right now is, I have my own unique heart energy, unlike anyone in the universe. You have your unique heart energy like anyone in the universe. So when you choose to come into your heart and I choose to come into mine, and we bring a collective combined energy of both our heart frequencies, we create a sacred network of light that can be utilized for this earth plane, for change,
wow,
for the restructuring of Earth. And you can do that with a group of people in a circle. You can do it with more than just yourself or one other person. But we are sacred beings, and it's about just unlocking the energy of the heart. Well, I have my whole heart space unlocked.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it to be closed anymore. But as a human being, if we feel betrayed, we close our heart down. If we feel, jealousy, our heart closes down. Wherever we close down, when we get afraid, we close down.
Yeah,
if we've been hurt, close down. So the heart has all these locking systems. We choose to close our own hearts down. We have to take responsibility for what we choose. Okay. So we can also choose to reopen those doors. We close a door, we can open a door.
So how do we get past that? How do we get past that? Because I know myself, I've been really closed down for years, and it's obviously over the years, everything's been closed, you know, it's like that. I'm just, you know, one of many people that we've kind of gone through these experiences. And as much as it's almost sometimes I feel like it's a default system where it's like, you kind of open up and it's like, no. And then it's like, okay, I close back down again. And it's like, you want to get open, but then you close. And it's like that self-protective mechanism. How do we move past that? How can we really
It's a very simple process. There's a simple truth.
Okay, let's
talk. I operate from this one. There's only truth, okay? This is a truth.
Well, this is perfect because I wanted to actually talk about the truth because I know you mentioned it a lot in the book. So I just wanted to let you know, this is a perfect segue of talking about that.
Sure. So every experience, every decision you've made in this lifetime has been perfect. You cannot have any feeling of that it wasn't right, that you made a mistake, that you should have done this or you should have done that. You've chosen every experience by a series of decisions that you've made. And it's about taking full responsibility for the decisions you have made in this lifetime up to this point. You're not a victim. None of us have ever been a victim. All right? You're not responsible for anybody else. But you do have to take responsibility for your own journey, for your own decision-making process. Some of it was on pre-agreement. We chose our mothers, our fathers, or whatever to come in with. There always has to be someone who is the perpetrator and someone who's having the other experience from being perpetrated. It's part of the journey of the learning process of being human.
Okay.
When you cease to become the victim and you take total responsibility for everything that's ever happened to you, everything you've ever done, you can't hurt anybody else because they're having their experience, and that was the pre-agreement. You're all on the stage playing it out. When you take all of that, there is nothing you can hold against yourself or anybody else.
So do you feel it's the self-condemnation and the shame and all those other energies and emotions that we just hang on to?
Yes. And then when you hold on to them, you reattract another experience to have the same feeling again, because the universe says, well, come and feel it again, and then you can let it go. But we don't let it go. We hang on to it. So it builds.
Yeah. So we have to get off the we have to get off the wheel, you know, the hamster in the wheel.
And
we have
get off the wheel by really examining this truth and saying, am I going to live truth and accept this as truth and let everything go? That means letting go of being the victim, of having this done to you, just like me as a child. I mean, my parents put me in a cult from 2 to 13. It's like, yeah, that was the pre-agreement. Oh, have you forgiven your parents? I don't need to forgive them. If I think I need to forgive someone, then I'm not taking responsibility for my own experience and my own pre-agreement.
I love that. Can you just repeat that? Because I thought it's very, very profound. I think a lot of people really would understand that, or need to understand that, I should say.
So if you feel you have to forgive someone, you're not really taking responsibility for your experience. You're playing victim. There's no such thing. Forgiveness is not really on the agenda. It's an ego mind thing. So you've got to look at and start examining, or you can, you don't have to, examining your where you're holding things against yourself and everybody else in this life. Okay. And the moment you do, you liberate yourself.
Wow.
And it doesn't mean you'll do it perfectly, because you're human. But you can make a list of everything you're holding against yourself and everything you're holding against everyone else, and make your way down the list and see, where can I let this go? Can I really let this one go? But you've got to be really honest and say, oh, no way can I ever let this go. Okay, so it's still on the list. But here's something. I can let that go and take responsibility for my experience here. And slowly, your list starts to dwindle. It's like a tight ball of twine knotted to death that slowly unravels. And then at a certain moment, guess what happens? It collapses.
Wow.
Can't hold together anymore.
I like that.
And when you start to live that truth about you and your life and your experiences, you start to get a lot of gratitude for what, because I don't want to live any of my life again, but it's brought me to everything that I am in this moment. And all that's there is gratitude and love. And it's real. It's real, but you've got to be authentic even with yourself. Like, you can't say, oh yes, I can let that go, and you're hanging on.
We do that all the time.
Yes, we do. You might as well just say, you know what? Right now, I can't let this go, but I'm looking at it and I'm breathing into it, and I'm going to put it over there and I'll look at it again. That's authenticity.
I like that. That's profound. That's very profound.
Well, it's simple. And the fact is,
I think it's simple in ideas, but for a lot of us and a lot of people out there, it's going to be very challenging.
Oh, it's incredibly challenging. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's not incredibly challenging, because the ego mind is so afraid of letting go. We've been gnawing on a bone and hanging on to the fear or the struggle or the guilt or the shame. It's defined us. It's how we live. It's our persona. And that persona is something we know. And what's beyond that is something we don't know.
And I think that's probably the extra fear, is the unknown. because the familiar, the self is so familiar.
Exactly. But look at it this way. Just do one moment with one thing at a time. And what you actually do is you start breaking the cycle of self-sabotage that's been running your life for lifetimes. So one moment of just taking a thought, well, maybe I could let this go, even the possibility of letting it go, or the possibility of not letting go, changes the cycle.
I like that.
It's not about a perfect process.
It's just the intent is probably one of the biggest factors, is having the intent, or
like
the willingness.
It's
like, yeah, I want to reclaim that, because all that energy is contracted. We're holding on. We can't expand at that time. So everything's holding on to that.
You can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere in that. But if you go into self-empowerment, I'm willing to look at myself. Doesn't mean I'm going to let go of all this. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to say that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to start looking at it and starting to take even one moment of taking responsibility for something changes every cell in your body. One moment.
Wow. That profound.
That profound.
Wow. That's an interesting concept, how that can just, I mean, the introspective of looking at ourselves and letting go. And it's interesting. I love how the universe works, because I just had a conversation with a friend of mine last night, and we talked about the idea of letting go and letting go of certain things. And we were both really kind of a little bit of control freaks. And we were talking about that. She said, Mike, you know, one of the things I had to learn is just to let go, just let go. And there are certain things in my brain, it's like, yeah, screw that. I ain't letting go of that thing. There's no damn way, you know, forget
that's
you.
Honest. It's honest.
Yeah. I was getting pissed at her. I was like, well, what are you talking about? Like, screw you. I'm not letting go of that, you know, but yeah,
but you know what? You know, there's a big tool for letting go. It's what the Pleiadians call the conscious breath. And this conscious breath bypasses the ego mind and goes directly into the cells where these events and issues are holding in the cells of your body. So that conscious breath, you take it once an hour. It says, yes, I'm willing to let go. Yes, I'm willing to receive my light. And it's just a full breath in the mouth and out the mouth. That's it. That's all it is.
That's pretty simple.
And that is an automatic, it's very simple, an automatic shift.
Yeah, I love that. You know, sometimes we overthink of how to start healing and doing things. And the simplest thing is just to be still for a second and just breathe. So many times, you know, I've heard that, just breathe, like just breathe.
But there are breaths and there are breaths. When you do the nose breath, it holds the old cycles in the body. When you use the mouth breath that goes in the mouth and out the mouth, it releases the cycles and they can't come back into the body.
Why is that?
Well, the Pleiadians say the energetic, it interacts with the certain parts of the brain cells and the heart cells that are connected to our multidimensional tool of ourselves, our higher self, that sacred part of ourselves. So it sends the message and the frequency, opens the frequency of the heart. The nose breath does not do that. It closes and shifts it down. And some people breathe in the mouth and out the nose. In the nose, out the mouth. No, it's in the mouth, out the mouth. And it's like a deep,
it's almost like a sigh of like pushing it out, like getting out the stuff that's stuck in within the body. That's what it sounds like. It's like that. It's like, yeah, you almost feel relaxed when you do it. There's that automatically sense of
relief.
Yeah, it is. It's like, just like we all do it. We all would do it without even consciously thinking about it. It's like we sigh. It's always like that, that relaxation thing. Wow. So one of the things, you know, I wanted to ask you about is, you know, We haven't really talked about your books. And one of the things, I think it was the last book that you have was the Palladian Promise. And I just wonder if we can talk about what the promise is.
You know, the energy of the promise is really the Pleiadians' pre-agreement to see us through this transition of Earth. And part of that, the main part of that is us in human bodies stepping up and connecting and transforming Earth. But the Pleiadians' promise is to bring us to that point, into that understanding and that self-empowerment of how to go about that in the most simple ways that we as human beings can receive, not high-end, but down-to-earth basic principles of dealing with our humanity, loving our humanity, you know, that, you know, self-accepting our idiosyncrasies is the action of self-love, self-acceptance, not being perfect, accepting the imperfection.
Okay.
That's everything. That takes a huge burden off, trying to get it right, trying to do it perfectly. How long have we been striving to do it perfectly even to, in order to be loved?
That's so true.
The greatest illusion. You know, so they're saying the self-acceptance of our imperfection is the greatest action of self-love. That's all we need to do. We don't have to change anything about our humanity in order to move into our enlightened light. Self-acceptance.
I love that. You know, there's always these themes, like it's self-acceptance, you know, this idea that we have to, you know, look at ourselves, do the self-acceptance. I love that. And then I love the self-empowerment. I really love that idea, is empowering people, because I think that's one of the greatest tools that you could ever do, is an empowered person to help them make the change, not to change them and do the work for them, but empower them. No, as much as we like as healers, we always like to kind of go, hey, put my hand on you, you're done. But no, it kind of robs you of the experience of the lesson or whatever you're trying to experience. But it's almost like, here's the tools. Let me show you the way. Here's the door. Let me just open the door. Let me be your guide. Let me be the tour guide to walk.
Open the door.
Yeah. You're going to love it. You're going to love the other side.
Open your own door.
Is that basically what the Palladians are doing? They're kind of saying, here's the keys.
Yeah.
You're going to love what you see on the other side, but I'm giving you the golden ticket in the, you know, the chocolate factory in Willy Wonka. We're going to get you on the other side of this. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Now,
if you're willing to receive yourself, how much are you willing to receive?
How do we get past that? Because I know a lot of people struggle with self-worth.
Yeah.
And to worthy of receiving that love, because you even mentioned yourself, it's such overwhelming. I mean, we're so desperate to feel that. We, you know, as humans, we so want to feel that reconnection and that divine love to fill our hearts again, but we're so feeling not worthy of accepting that. Like there's something wrong with us.
That's the ego mind that you bypass it easily. It's bypassed by coming here. This is the doorway, and this is the ego mind. It's lack of self-worth, full self-love. Lack of self-worth, full self-love. So to place your hand on your upper chest, which is your heart space, and take a conscious breath, it allows you to enter, to re-enter the sacred aspect, your multidimensional tools, the love, the knowing, the peace, the understanding, clarity. And again, one moment in your heart shifts every cell in your body. Your cell has an energetic transmitter that carries the frequency of your sacred nature, your higher self. And when you come into your heart, even for one moment, that transmitter starts to switch on and starts to pulse like a heartbeat. Your own unique divine frequency, your unique frequency of your heart that I talked about. This is coming back home to yourself in moments, not doing it perfectly. 2 minutes, 1 moment, 5 minutes. That's enough.
And then you could do this anywhere. It's not like you have to.
You can just sit here like this anytime, any moment. And at a certain point, you don't even have to touch your heart if you're in your office. You can just bring your awareness there, take a conscious breath, and allow your sacred nature to come into your day-to-day living and help you in every possible way in your work, in the way to live in this life, to support your humanity. It brings not only clarity, but inspiration. You get incredible intuitive information on everything, everything.
Wow.
You know, you become a master of whatever you're doing in your job, whether it's in whatever field you're in. It enhances your ability to become much more complete in whatever you do.
Yeah, I like that. It's so empowering. This has been really enlightening and really empowering conversation. I'm so appreciative of this. And it's interesting, like I said before, it's very well grounded information. And I hope you understand that there is so much love and energy that's just flowing. I mean, I'm sure people are going to be listening to this and people are going to start having their heart chakras start opening up, I'm really excited about that because I just have this feeling that that's what's going to happen. So one of the things I found interesting is about in your book about talking about the transmission and the frequency and the vibration of the words within the book, that it's actually a transmission of energy. And when people read that, it's almost like it is encoded with this sense of love and energy as they read this. It's kind of like they're getting this download.
This is imprints. It's an imprinting energy, and it's designed to imprint to your unique heart frequency.
Okay.
It's multidimensional, the actual coding and the imprints, so that you can take in one level of it one time, and then you take in another level of it at another time.
I like that idea. So it's not overwhelming. So it's not going to just kind of like overwhelm you with all this different stuff. It's just slow, easy progression. So you're not, again, overwhelmed and having all these things happen. It just gives you a steady progression of elevating yourself, your consciousness at that time. So I think that's a really amazing thing. So Christine, I wanted to ask you, you have so much resources online. You have a lot of different courses. Can we just talk about all the different things that you do? I mean, you're the ambassador of the Palladians. You have three books now. Is it three, or are you working on fourth?
No, I'm not working on the fourth. Glad to say.
Not yet, anyways, until they download one on you.
Unless the publisher pushes me, and I'm not.
I'm sure she's listening to this right now. I'm sure Aaron would be going like, okay, yeah, let's get another book going. Let's do it. But let's talk about just that, because you have so many courses too as well, because I know a lot of people are going to be curious about this and about your work, and people are craving things like this. They want to start learning, they want to start evolving, they want to start their own healing journey. So can we just talk about some of the things that you offer on your course, on your courses?
There's so much. It's but it's really fantastic. So, you know, there's the self-healing course, which is three half-hour video classes, but it's about returning back to self-empowerment in your own physical body. And it's really fantastic because they're video classes that you can watch over and over again, but they actually teach you how to work consciously in your physical body and start to come back into especially pain areas of your body. When we have pain, we move our awareness away from the pain side. And that makes the issue worse. And the fact is, you bring your awareness and your conscious breath into the area, and you come back in and you start to have a different experience and relationship with your own physical body. Very important. So there's the self-healing. There's galactic journeys, reconnecting with your family of origin off planet, which is part of our pre-agreements. Our families of origin are here to support us right at this time in our awakening journeys, if you want to call them forward, but they can't come without you calling them forward. So there's Galactic 2, which is just finished. That's really amazing. Then there's the master classes, which are just so incredible. There's eight 1.5 hour video classes.
Oh, wow. In the fantastic. Series.
And you take your time. Each class is multidimensional. You could watch it 20 times, and every time you'd go into a, you know, different evolution of yourself. But there's 8 90-minute classes, which are just incredible. They're really amazing.
Do you do live? Yeah, I was going to say, do you do live or in-person seminars?
Yes. I have a 3-day Pleiadian seminar coming up in December, which is really cutting-edge work. That's a live class. 8th, 9th, and 10th, I think, of December. It's in the store anyway. Yes. But also every second month, I do a live 90-minute class, which is really key for anyone who's interested. We keep the price really low, and you get the whole class after, so you can do it and work with it over and over again. It's multidimensional too. It's $30 for the class. You know, we keep it so everyone can come in and do it if they want to really be on a journey. So that's every second month. The next one's December. And so there's all the other, I mean, there's so much material. There is a lot, but it just keeps streaming in. The Pleiadians keep wanting me to just
Sure they do. There's like, okay, come on, let's go. We have another course. We have another meditation. Come on, let's go. You need to be
That's
in this
exactly
place.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it's like, okay, all right, guys, just hold the fort here for a second. Yeah. Let me just catch my breath, you know. I got to have my humanness once in a while. I got to go on vacation, you know, let me do those sort of things. Wow. I really appreciate it. And it's really amazing all the work that you have done with that. And obviously the books too, as well, you can purchase those, which is fantastic. So if they're looking for you on the World Wide Web, how do they find you, Christine?
It's www.christinedayonline.com.
Okay. Facebook, Instagram.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, I guess I don't do any of that. Yeah, there's Facebook and all that stuff. I write the stuff. Someone else does all of that. I've never been on my Facebook page, so I haven't been on my website either, really. But, you know, it's just what I do. I do the work and
you have your team doing everything else. Yeah, which is how could you keep up with all that stuff? I mean, I'm surprised all the information that's coming through you and all downloaded. Yeah, it's amazing. Not possible. Well, Christine, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I am so grateful to have you on the show today and to talk about this, because I know a lot of people have been asking me about this information, and I've had a lot of conversations about people about the Pleiadians. And so I just wanted to let everybody listening that, you know, we have some information now, and Christine is a great resource that you can check out that information on her website. And I'll have all Christine's information in the description below, so it'll be easy to find. You just got to scroll down, click the links, and you can check out all the information, her website, her books, all that good stuff. Christine, thank you so much for being on the show today.
And big blessings to everybody out there.
Yes, very much so. And I'm so happy that. So I'm just going to close off the podcast here. This has been the Metaphysical Mentor Podcast with Michael Philpott. Thank you so much for tuning in, and goodbye for now.